Okay. Good morning, and welcome back to the series. This is an interesting edition of Meet the Mefarshim. What we try to do here is we try to take a look at one of the Mefarshim, one of the commentators on the page. If you open up a regular Mikros Gedolos Chumash, a Chumash, you know, comprehensive Chumash that has the main commentaries, and try to get a little bit of background of some of the personalities that we see on the page, and get their overall style, right? You can read one comment of a certain Perish, certain Mephorash, and not know so much about him. So what we try to do here is read a whole bunch of comments of a particular Perish, and we can get a sense of their style. I try to give something some other Parshas as well. Now, the commentator that we're meeting today, the Baal HaTurim, Rav Yaakov ben Asher Baal HaTurim, his commentary is it's not a reflection of who he is, because he has a much, much greater contribution to Jewish history and Torah than the commentary that he's so well known for, the Baal HaTurim. And even his commentary to the Torah is not exactly what people know him for as the Baal HaTurim. So we're going to learn about him, but it's a little bit different than usual. I'm going to be trying to focus mostly on the commentary that you look at, that if you open up a Chumash, when you see the Baal HaTurim, I'm going to try to focus mostly on that and take pieces mostly from that, but we'll try to get a little bit of background and see how much more he is. Just kind of get an idea. So I know Shal Baruch, of course, knows the Baal HaTurim. Is anybody else familiar with the Baal HaTurim at all? Familiar with
the name?
Okay, have you heard of a pshat from him or anything like that, or not so much of the Baal HaTurim? We've heard some of his comments, maybe mentioned, heard him in Divrei Torah. Okay, so we'll get a little bit of a background of who he is. So the Baal HaTurim's commentary is known for the world being involved in the world of remes, of hints. So if you say Baal HaTurim and you do a game of word association, people probably think gematria, right? You think of numerical equivalents of this has the same exact gematria as that, and different hints. But first, I want to go a little back. So what does it mean to be the Baal HaTurim? Why is he called Baal HaTurim? That wasn't his name. His name was Rav Yaakov ben Rav Asher. He's referred to as Rav Yaakov ben Asher, or Baal HaTurim. Now, his father is a very prominent halachic authority from the 13th century, known as the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher. So he is the father of the Baal HaTurim. So already he's quite a prominent Ashkenazic Rishon who wasn't Ashkenazic his whole life because let's go look a little further. So the Baal HaTurim was born in Germany, in Cologne, Germany, in 1269 or around that time, 1269, and he is the third son of the Rush of Rabbeinu Asher ben Rabbi Chiel. So he's a prominent prominent rabbinic family. I believe he's actually a descendant of the great Rabbeinu Gershom, who is from the 11th century, who is a grand rebbe of Rashi. So a very hashiv rabbinic family, and the son Rav Yaakov Baal HaTurim, he studied in his father's yeshiva. And he from a young age was involved in the world of Torah and became a very serious Talmud Chacham. And in 1303, there were just a series of pogroms, and it was very, very hard. It was very, very hard to be a Jew, and especially living in the Ashkenazic countries. And they had to leave Germany, and they moved to Spain. They moved to Toledo, and that's where Rush becomes a little bit more Sephardically influenced. So he's really Ashkenazic, but then he has a little bit of a Sephardi influence brought in halacha. And the Baal HaTurim, Rav Yaakov Baal HaTurim, followed his father there, and so he lived in Barcelona, and then he became a prominent Torah authority of his own. Often including his, so let's talk about his writings. So what's his biggest contribution. So Baal HaTurim means the owner, the master of the Turim, right? Like the Baal HaTanya is the master, the writer, the author of the Sefer Tanya. So the Baal HaTurim means that he is the master of the what's called the Turim. Turim means rose. It's a reference to one of the big De Kahuna, right? That the Choshen, the breastplate, had. So what does the breastplate have on it? 12 stones in rows. So there are four rows on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. Each, and so the Torah says it's the Tur Echad. Each one is called a Tur. So he wrote a four-part, this is his magnum opus, a four-part halacha sefer called the Arba Turim, the four rows. One is called Orachayim. One is called Yoredeya. One is called Evan Ezer. One is called Choshen Mishpat. So these are the four rows. Orachayim is about regular daily living. And each one is known as the Tur, right? Because each one is a row. So it's called the Tur, the row. And he becomes known as the Tur. So Rav Yaakov Baal HaTurim is referred to as the Tur. And this halachic work, the Tur, the Arba Turim, the four rows, is really the basis for all of halacha today. You see, there was a commentary on the Tur. Sorry, it's a commentary on a commentary on the Tur called the Beis Yosef. Who was the Beis Yosef was written by? Yosef Karo. And there's another commentary on the Tur called the Darkei Moshe, which was written by Rav Moshe Isserles, a.k.a. the Ramah. So there's a commentaries on the Tur, this massive halachic work called the Tur. There's a commentary called the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe that was written by Rav Yosef Karo and Rav Moshe Isserles. And then Rav Yosef Karo and Rav Moshe Isserles both decided that they're going to, you know, they're going to write their own version of the halacha, incorporating more opinions, and they're going to keep it very simple. And that's when the Rav Yosef Karo decided to write the Sefer called that was so easy, like it's like a set table you see over here with delicious treats, refreshments. He called it like a set table because it's very simple and straightforward Hebrew, and it's not complicated. Lomdus called the Shulchan Aruch, the set table. Shulchan Aruch is the basis for all of halacha today. The Shulchan Aruch and then the Ramaz Ashkenazic addendums is the basis for all halacha. That's what the first place you start when you're discussing any halachic topic. The first place you start is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is based on the Tur, the Arba Turim of the Baal HaTurim. That's a huge contribution. That's a huge contribution to Torah. That's a huge contribution to the halachic world. And of course, what are Jews if we're not halacha? Right? You see in societies that Jewish people that detach themselves from halacha cease to exist after a generation or two. Halacha is what keeps us from, it keeps us Jewish. It keeps Judaism, is halacha, and halacha was founded so much on the work of the Tur. He also had a commentary to the Torah. He wrote a commentary to the Torah. And this commentary was a large commentary, primarily based on the writings of the Ramban, but he incorporated other ideas as well. And
so
that
met the Ramban.
We have met the Ramban.
Never did.
I don't know if they met. I'm not sure.
The Ramban lived before him. That's why
The Ramban lived. He was 1190.
He's the 12th. I think he was the 12th.
Yeah.
1205 or something.
Did he die?
When the Ramban, I think. Misinformation is worse than.
Yeah. I don't think he did, because it seems to be in his Hakdama, in his introduction, he seems to ask permission. So you don't have to do that if you can actually ask the man permission, you know? I mean, you only write in your introduction, I'm asking forgiveness and permission to do something from somebody if they passed away. You know, if otherwise you just ask them in person, you wouldn't write it in your introduction and say, I hope he forgives me. So we'll see. So anyway, so he writes this big commentary, and what he says is, I'm going to at the beginning of each section, I'm going to put some remuzim, some hints that are what is called like parparos, latorah, like these like pepperings, latorah, something that like kind of whets your appetite and makes you want to learn the big part of the commentary. And irony of ironies, those little nuggets at the beginning, pardon, I don't mean to be disrespectful, nuggets of gold, at the beginning of his commentary, that are those hints, they ended up becoming published separately and much more popular, much more well-known and widely spread, especially for hundreds of years is all we had of the Bala Turim. So, and that became known as the commentary of the Bala Turim. So again, what he intended to be just like a nice little introduction to each section of his actual commentary, that became its own sefer that was much more popular than his actual commentary to the Torah, and it, I guess it became in some ways more popular than his halakhic work. Though his halakhic work was obviously much more critical and among the scholarly Torah world was definitely more serious. But his commentary became known as the Baal HaTurim. He's became known as the Baal HaTurim. And then after hundreds of years, we ended up like finding the manuscripts of the original longer commentary. So now you can find it, but you can't find it in every comprehensive Mikros Gedolos Chumash. You're not going to find what's called the Perish Baal HaTurim HaAruch, the long commentary of the Baal HaTurim. You find the Perish when we find the Baal HaTurim in the Chumash. It's usually just like the little thing that he put at the beginning of the section to get you excited for it, and it's pretty interesting how it worked out. Last thing I'm going to do outside, and then we'll go to the sources on the page to see some of the actual comments of the Baal Turim. So the reason I preface with all that is that even though the rest of the shiur we're going to be focusing on the comments of what we know as the commentary of the Baal Turim, and I did not put any of the halachos of the tour on our page, and I didn't put any of the long commentary of the tour of the Baal Turim on the page. I didn't put it on, but I do want to acknowledge that was really his primary contribution to the Torah world, and his primary commentary on the Torah that he was proud of is not what we're discussing today, because I want to help open up for us the Baal Turim that you see on the page in a standard Chumash, but with that preface, I'll read a little bit of his Hakdama, of his introduction to his commentary, and then we'll get to the sources over here. So also I think when I read this, you'll get a sense of his humility. Hine nun hoati ledaber kilo vinas adam li vachayelam legaber. I'll read in English. Behold, now I desire to speak words of Torah, though I have neither human understanding nor strength to excel, nor words with which to compose. Rather, a boor am I among men. I have not learned wisdom. In me is no knowledge or design. With me is no knowing a thing. Yet my soul thirsts for it, my flesh longs for it, even if it be hidden from me and concealed. So like, why would you want to read his stuff, right? he doesn't know anything. What's he going to say? So he's clearly incredibly humble. Then he goes, then, V'hine re'isi hayam ha'gadol rechav yadayim. Behold, I have seen, I skipped a paragraph of it. It's all written in a poem. I have seen this great sea, very wide. Perushe ha'torah l'rav Rabbi Moshe bar Rabbi Nachman Zal. The commentary Zal. That's a clue, right? He says, "I've seen the commentary of the Torah of the Rabbi Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, which of course is the Ramban, calls him Zal. So he did pass away." He says, "Gadol hanotz of Rav Kanafayim. He's in massive wings. He's incredible, and basically he says, Vatechi ruach Yaakov, Vatechi elav pishnayim. He says, and the soul of Yaakov was invigorated. So talking about it's a pasuk in the Torah that at the end when Yaakov finally Yosef comes back, so Vatechi ruach Yaakov his soul was. So he's referring to himself because he's Rav Yaakov Baal Turim. So he's using a pasuk about Yaakov Avinu applying it to himself. Anyway." He says, "Lechein tchilas devari." Therefore, this is like after the poetic part. Therefore, I begin my words. Anim avakesh reshus me'es harav haniskar. I ask for permission from the rabbi that I mentioned. V'achar kein ani mechalep ne kol korei b'chibur ezeh. Leval yedineni lechav kova. I'm asking permission from the Ramban, and then I ask anybody who's reading my work, please don't judge me lechav chov. Don't judge me unfavorably, lamor to say shasisi liskadelbo, that what I'm doing right, that this book I did was to aggrandize myself, right? Why? Ki what was sisi davar shiroi liskadel? Because I didn't do anything worth being honored. It's like, don't accuse me of trying to just like write the sefer for my own honor, because my sefer isn't worth honor. Like that wouldn't do it. Sheini ela kimalakit ochel mitoch ochel. I'm collecting, trying to, like the best of the best. Ramban had a whole bunch of beautiful ideas. I'm trying to take some of the ochel mitoch ochel. She says ulavai shalom yisi machzer haochel psolas. And I hope I don't ruin some of the. Hope I didn't take some of the beautiful pshat in the Ramban and pervert it. He says, "Ve'in kavanisi v'zeh raki l'flomi many divrei rav zal and v'sishum v'chasumin." He says, basically, I'll keep it short. He says, the reason I'm doing this is just because I have trouble understanding the Ramban myself. So I feel like if I explain it, if I write it out and take some points that I can understand, I'll understand it. Maybe someone else will benefit from it. But I'm just doing this so I can understand the Ramban, his wisdom. And he says, like, "V'sodo lo ba nafshi," and I'm not going to enter his sod. You see, you notice that we mentioned with the Ramban, in the Ramban shir a few weeks ago, that Ramban, when he gets to the Kabbalistic part, so the art scroll doesn't elucidate it. When it gets to the Kabbalistic parts of the Ramban, he starts getting Valderach HaEmes, and he starts getting into the truth of the matter and starts talking Kabbalah. The art scroll, you know, backs out and says we're not elucidating further. A precedent for that is the Tur, the Baal Turim, because he says I'm not getting involved. So he often will quote the Ramban. He doesn't quote him by name, as he mentions over here. He says, "I almost never mention him by name because there's no need. Because most of what I'm saying is the Ramban with my little, you know, knitch here and there. And then other mafarshim I'll quote by name. But if I don't quote a name, assume it's the Ramban and my understanding of it. That's what he says. When he gets to the Kabbalah parts, he says, I'm not discussing that. I can't mess with the Ramban's brilliant understanding and Kabbalah. So he doesn't elucidate that." Okay, and then he says, and then this last line, "Very easy od lichto b'tchilas kol seder v'seder," and I saw fit to write further at the beginning of each section, "Ma'at parparos mimi gematrias v'tamei amasoros laham shechalev." Some a few gematrias here, a few with explanations for some Masoretic notes, just laham shechalev, to draw forward the heart. And then he says, "Vasher lo kol machshavos galuyos." He says, "Hashem knows my thoughts." So Hashem, he's talking about Hashem knowing my machshavos, my plans. It's interesting because you know we say Rabbas machshavos levish. Hashem, it's Hashem hisakum. That man has a lot of plans, but Hashem has his way. So he says, "Hashem knows my plans and my thoughts and my intentions." And Hashem actually took it a different way because his intention was again that short commentary. Be it like a side part of his major commentary, and that's actually what he came most known for. So we see how history tells the story of Rabbos Moshe Lavish just in his words over here. He knows my thoughts, but really Hashem had a different plan for his commentary. So without further ado, in like the last like 30 seconds left of this year, let's do some of the comments over here of the run. So they're all from Baalos, except the very end, which are some things I looked over with my dear Chavrusa, Shalbar, and some things on Birchas Kohanim. We'll see if we have time for that. So the first source, first page, Daber la'aron ve'amartai lov, Baaloscha es haneros el mopnei menorah ye'iru shivas yamim. Shivas haneros. That you're going to speak to Aaron and tell him in your going up of lighting the candles of the menorah, so seven neros will shine. So I quoted for here a famous Gemara in Masechah Shabbos regarding Hadlakos Neros for Hanukkah. Of course, the Hadlakos Neros for Hanukkah, even though the menorah that we light is not the same as the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash, the number of branches, etc., there are other differences. But it's based on that. The miracle, of course, was with the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash. So we know there's a machlokas of how you're supposed to light. How many do you light the first night?
One.
Does everybody say that?
No.
No. Okay. But famously, Beis Shammai say that you should light how many on the first night?
Eight.
All eight. So take a look at this. I just the bold part of this. Bryce from the Gemara and Shabbos. Beis Shammai omrim yom rishon madlik shmona mikan ve'elech poches v'holech. And from here on, you do one less and go on. Beis Hillel omrim yom rishon madlik achas. the first night you light one, mikan ve'ilech mosif aholech. And then there's two explanations for it, for what their machlokas is based on. Is it based on how many days there are left? How many days are there that we've had so far, or how many days it is? And then there's another approach. And just that the last line that's bolded, v'taima de Beis Hillel demalin bakodesh ve'ein moridin. The reason for Beis Hillel is that we have a principle that malin bakodesh, you go up in for holy matters, but in maridin, you don't go lower. That if someone has a certain halachic status, the holy status, you don't take them out of that status, right? It's like, for example, if there's a substitute Kohen Gadol, so and then the original Kohen Gadol is back in, so the substitute doesn't lose his. It's a complicated discussion. Can he lose his status, or does he remain like a part time Kohen Gadol? He has a different status. Ein moridin, right? If when you use something for a holy purpose, you can't then lower it. If it's the Sefer Torah, and then the Sefer Torah gets worn out, can you use whatever's left for a mezuzah or for a tefillin? No, so no, that's going down in kedusha. And Hillel says that that's the problem over here. Base Hillel say that that's the problem over here. That if you do eight, you can't do seven the next night. That's going down in kedusha. Says the Baal Turim. Says Shivas Haneros Keneged Zayin Hamazalos Chanchal Shatzam. He says the seven candles are Keneged the seven Mazalos. There were seven Kochvei Leches, is what it's called in the Gemara. It's seven like planets. The sun and moon are included, right? This it stands for Chama Nuga. Chama is the sun. Nuga is Venus. Kochav is Mercury. Lavana is moon. Shabtai is what's Shabtai? Planet Saturn, exactly. Yeah, because it's right. Saturday, Shabtai, Shabbat. Right. Yeah, Shabbat. Tzedek is Jupiter, and Maadim is Mars. Okay, so those are the seven. That's also okay. Anyway, so he says that the seven branches correspond to these seven luminaries in the sky. Now, but here's the main point. Ksiv ba'losra esaneros. It says, and you're going up in the candles. Ksiv la'halos ner tamid, that you should go up in lighting. Lebeis Hillel ner, v'achar kach neros. Right, so it says ner, and then it says neros. Shemosifin v'holchin, that you're adding on and going on. Right, so that's why it says ner first, and then it says neros. And then he says also that's why it says lahalos ner tamid, lahalos going up. Shemalin v'kodesh, because you're going up in holiness. So what the Baal Turim is saying. Right, if you would just read it on its own, you wouldn't necessarily know, but you realize Baal Turim is referring to the Gemara and Shabbos. He says that the word lahalos is an indication that we hold like Beis Hillel, because ein moridin, malin bekodesh, ein moridin, we go up in holiness. And then he says, ule Beis Shammai, tchila neros, v'achachach ner, shemoridin v'holchin. Beis Shammai, first you have neros, and then afterwards ner, shemoridin v'holchin. And he says, Lahalos ner tamid, or Samach Tes over there is Sofe Tevos. Look at that phrase, Lahalos ner tamid, the last letters of each word. Lahalos. It's tough. Ner is Resh, Tamid Dalid, Tered, go down. You see that?
He doesn't tell you what halachically to do.
Right. Did you catch that?
No.
That if you see in this last, in this. This line over here, Lalos Ner Tamid, Tuf Reish Dalid, Tered, go down. So he says that's a remez to Beis Shammai's opinion. So we have a hint to right everything included here, right? But it says Neros and then Ner, and Ner and the Neros. So it's including both opinions. We have Lahalos going up. That's Malam Kodesh, that's Hillel, and Beis Hillel, and then Lahalos Ner Tamid is Sofei Tevos, Tered, go down, remez to Beis Shammai. Now, what I would suggest, I forgot the source of this concept. There's a concept out there that you know, while nowadays we hold like Beis Hillel, that in the future, when Mashiach comes, we're going to hold like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai were known to be more like sharper than the members of Beis Hillel. And there are various reasons we hold like Beis Hillel, whether it's just majority or they were very humble, they presented both opinions, you get a fuller picture, whatever it is. But we hold like Beis Hillel, but Le Sid Lavo will hold like Beis Shammai. This is discussed in Chassidus Svarim, that we're going to hold like Beis Shammai. If that's true, then maybe it makes sense why the Baal terms Ramazim are where they are. That in the simple, straightforward reading of the text, which word jumps out at you? Lahalos, to allude to Beis Hillel. But at the sophe tevos, the end of the words, at the end of the day, when Mashiach comes, then you'll see Tered. You'll see Beis Shammai's opinion. So it could be that's why Beis Shammai's opinion is coded as a sophe tevos, but Beis Hillel's remez is more explicit in the text, perhaps alluding to we hold like Beis Hillel now, and at some point we'll hold like Beis Shammai. Okay. It requires a source for that concept, but okay. Next. Vayhi anashim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam. This is from this week's parsha also. There were some Tamei Jews that they could not bring the Korban Pesach. It was the second Korban Pesach in history. It's a year after they left Egypt. Everyone wants to be part of the Korban Pesach. And there were some Tameim, people who were Tamei, who were ritually impure. They couldn't bring the Korban. And they came before Moshe and Aaron and said, help us. Rabbi, Moshe Rabbeinu, help us. We want to bring the Korban Pesach. Says the Baal Turim, Anashim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam, the men who were tamei because they came in contact with a corpse. So we don't know who they are. Who are these people? Who are these people who became tamei? How did they become tamei?
They carried Joseph's tomb.
Oh, okay. So take a look. So Begematria, that line, Anashim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam, Begematria, Elo Shahayu Nosin Arono Shal Yosef. These are the ones who carried the coffin of Yosef. Right? Yosef's bones were being carried, right? Yosef made his brothers and children and grandchildren and great grandchildren promise to bring his bones out of Egypt. So they were carrying it with them in the desert. The people who were carrying it became Tamei. And so those are the people those are the people. Don't worry, Shalabar, you're trying to work at the math?
This is 928.
What do you mean 928?
What is it? What's the number?
Oh, okay. So this is gematria. Let's. I'll get there. I'll get the calculation in a moment. So it's saying that these people are the ones who are carrying the bones of Yosef, and you see the gematria of this phrase equals this phrase. Now, a lot of the time with the gematria, it's not exact. It's not exact. There are different ways to calculate it, and we're going to see a couple of examples of that in this comment. Also, this comment, this version of the Baal Turim is not what we have in some of the earlier manuscripts, but it was corrected based on a commentary called the Rokeach. Rokeach was Rabbi Elazar of Worms, of Ramiza, who was a Rishon, and I think he lived earlier than the Baal Turim, and a lot of the Ramazim of the Baal Turim are not his own. They're some that he saw and heard from before his time. So the version of the Baal Turim we have here is more accurate. However, you still have to work something out. The gematria of the phrase Anashim Asher Hayu Tmeim Lenefesh Adam is 1528. However, the second phrase that he says is 1534. But there's a principle in gematria called im hatevos, where you add the number of words involved. So that first phrase, anashim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam, is six words. So if you do 1528 plus 6, 1534. And that's exactly that phrase that we quote. Next it says, asher hayu tmeim begematria ze lemeis mitzvah. That and the phrase "and they were tamei" is the exact amount. Is the gematria of this means to mace mitzvah. Mace mitzvah is a halacha that if somebody finds a corpse that is not being cared for, you have an obligation to care for that body and give proper burial, right? Even a kohen can do that, and even a nazir, which we just learned about in last week's parsha, can't become tamei even for a kohen gadol, even for an immediate relative. Kohen gadol and a nazir can't bury their wives, rachmanis, when they pass away. They can bury a corpse that has no one to attend to it. So that's called mace mitzvah. And now Baal Turim is saying like a different pshat. Why were they tamei? Not because they carried the bones of Yosef, because they were mace mitzvah. There was somebody that they had to be buried. They took care of it and they became tamei. Okay. Now the Baal Turim over here, he says, so the phrase, Asher Hayu Tameim, is Gematria 622. And the phrase he said, Zeh L'meis Mitzvah, is 623. There's a principle called Im HaKolel that you include the phrase. So it's one phrase, you conclude that. So it equals out. Now, where did the Balaturim... where did the Balaturim get this from? He just like works at Gematrias to figure out... So how did he know, just based on the Gematria, that's how you become... It was either someone carrying the bones of Yosef or someone from Meis Mitzvah, just because he worked at the Gematria? So no. Look at the next page. You have Talmud Bavli and Masechah Sukkah. Everyone has that first source?
Yes.
So it says, it quotes our pasuk. I'm just going to go to the bold. Vayihi anashim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam v'gomer. That's our pasuk. Osam anashim mi hayu. Who were those people who were tamei who came to Moshe and Aaron and complained? Nosei Aarono shel Yosef hayu. They were the ones who carried the Aron of Yosef, the coffin of Yosef. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Aglili. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So you see over here, the Baal Turim didn't make it up. It was in the Gemara. The Gemara, which came 800 years before the Baal Turim. It's 800 years? The Gemara was completed by the year 5. And no, is this even a Brisa? This is a Brisa. So this is latest, 200 CE. This is 1,000 years before the Baal Turim. The Gemara already said this. The Baal Turim just showed a gematria for it. But it was already something that we knew for 1,000 years. Rabbi Akiva over here, I didn't bold it because he's not including the Baal Turim, but Rabbi Akiva says, Mishalan and Safan Hayu, Shal Yoskim and Nadav and Avihu. They're Nadav and Avihu's cousins. When Nadav and Avihu died in Parsha Shmini, so their cousins, Mishalan and Safan, took care of them. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, and then I go to the next bold, Ela Oskin B'meis Mitzvah Hayu. No. They were not the people who dealt with the coffin of Yosef. It wasn't Mishael and Tzavan. They're just people who were involved in Meis Mitzvah. So we see over here, what did the Baal Turim do? He quoted two of the opinions we saw in the Gemara, and he just pointed out beautiful gematrias for them. See that? I was wondering why the Baal Turim didn't mention the second opinion, Rabbi Akiva. He didn't mention Mishael and Tzavan. I happened to see, so I was working through it last night, just very quickly. I was just wondering, like he didn't say it. I just tried something, the experiment, and I worked at the gematria, so of Mishal and El Tzafan. I tried to work at the gematria. I spelled Mishal without a yud, which I saw is not actually correct in the Torah. In Tanakh, the Mishael, there are two personalities named Mishael. One of them is one of the friends of Daniel. Daniel, who was one of the three who was thrown into the fire, Mishael, Chanan, Azariah. And there's this Mishael, and it's always spelled with a yud. I spelled it chaser without a yud, which you technically could do. As long as you have the right nakudos, you can spell it Mishael. But I worked out without a yud. Mishael and El Tzafan, or Gematria, you ready for this? 622, which is Asher Hayut Meim. What? Asher hayu tmeim. That phrase, Asher hayu tmeim. So he says it's gematria zeh l'meis mitzvah, which is 623. But if you spell Mishael chaser, it's Mishael and El Tzafan. That was crazy shot to the Shmaya. I tried that out last night. I was just experimenting. Mishael, that was the first. I didn't try a million different things to work it out. That's the first thing I tried. Mishael and El Tzafan was 622. My mind was blown. Okay, but that's the bathroom didn't include that, so I just didn't like it. Okay. Let's do. Yeah, and I'm looking for sponsors to publish the safer. So, yeah. Okay. We'll do just a couple more. We have.
So what does Quan do with the other Rabbi Yitzchak? What does he do with the idea of?
That you have to take a look at the Gemara and Sukkah for that. It's a longer discussion, so maybe we'll discuss after. But that the Gemara and Sukkah goes why they disagree with each other. All right. Now, so the next source over here, Bamidbar, Yud, Lamadal, Lamad to Lamad Vav, we have the Pasuk is the famous backward nuns, the backwards nuns in Parshas Baal Oscha. Vayi ben so Aaron, vayomar Moshe, kuma Hashem v'yifutz ha'ivechem, nusdum nechem v'nechem, v'nucho yomar, shuv Hashem revos alfei Yisrael. We say this every single time we take out and put away the Sefer Torah, we say these psukim. And they're separated by these backwards nuns, so strange. The only place in the entire Torah, and one of the only two places in all of Tanakh where we have backwards nuns. What's going on here?
separate paragraph. It's written, right? It's written as a separate paragraph.
It's written, yeah, like a separate paragraph. There's an opinion in the Gemara that in Masechet Shabbos, that's a separate sefer, that there's seven svarim of the Torah. Okay. So anyway, so the Baal Turim over here, maybe I'll read it mostly outside. He says that there are two times you find a phrase like this in the Torah, and he explains it. Then he says that the nun hafuchin, because Hashem wanted to bring the shvatim she'osio sehen nun esayardin shu rachav chamishim. That what? Well, you have two nuns. What's going on here? Because the shvatim have nuns. The shvatim have nuns in nun. There's 50 letters in the names of the Shvatim. If you add up the letters of the names, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, you go through all 12 of them, the way the name is written when they're born. If you add up all the letters, there are 50 letters overall. And the Yardane was 50 amos wide. So Hashem, Vayibin, so Aron, this is about Hashem bringing them through. So there's backwards nuns, a nun and a nun, to say that the people who are nun letters of the 12 Shvatim, should be brought across the Yardane, which is nun, 50 amos wide. That's what he first says. Then he says, "Tam acher lenunin." A different reason for the nunin, hafuchin. Yeah, right. Kide isa b'shabbes parakol kisrei. What we quoted the Gemara in Shabbos. She'ein zemakoba. That this is not the proper place for it. That this section, these two psukim, are actually artificially placed here. They're from earlier in the Torah, and they're put here to interrupt a series of unfortunate events. We don't have to discuss now. And there, sorry, kan lahefsik bein peronios. There's some typos over here from the source that I borrowed. Kan lahefsik bein peronios rishona leperonios shnia, to divide between the earlier bad news and second set of bad news. Va'asa nun in hafuchin lo shemakoma lifnei nun parshias lefaneha. So why are there nun? Why are there nun? Because there's 50 parshios earlier is the proper place. Now we're not talking about like the weekly parsha. A parsha, we mean just like a section in the Torah that's like a paragraph in the Torah. So this is not the proper place for Vayhi ben Aharon. Really, it was supposed to be 50 parshios earlier. That's the proper place for it, which is right. So it says, "Mekom lefnei parshios lefaneha." And this is where it's supposed to be. This is in Parshas Bamidbar already. That's the correct place for it, right? It would be probably the second parak of Parshas Bamidbar. That's where really the appropriate place for it is. Right when it's talking about the camps getting ready to move and that kind of thing. That's the place where he bun so our own. And it's supposed to be much earlier. Ve'ilu lo hayu nun hafuchin. But if the nuns were not backwards, I wouldn't know. A nun indicates it's 50 parshios in the wrong place, but I wouldn't know which direction. Is this supposed to be 50 parshios earlier or later? So what's the trick? Because the nuns are backwards, it tells me go backwards 50, and that's what he says is it's a remes too. Okay, so that's what he says. Now it happens to be in our versions of right. So this means there really we have there should be 49 parshios between this and the proper place, and that would be 50. We only have 48 in our Sefer Torah, and that's a little bit of an issue. However, I saw quoted the article quoted the Mincha Shai who quotes. I have to name it the Or Torah. Here we have to right. Have to name it the Or Torah who said that there were previously versions of the Torah that were broken up with there's an extra paragraph spacing, so it could be it's going according to that that version of the Torah that it would be 50 paragraphs that way. Okay, and the last one on the page, and I think we'll end with this. It's very interesting. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Esva li shivim ish, gather for me 70 men. Moshe wants 70 men to join him. Hashem wants Moshe to gather 70 men of Zakenim, of the elders, to be his like Sanhedrin and help him out. So the Baal Turim over here, I didn't quote the whole thing. It's an unbelievable thing. Esrali shivim nefesh. So he says that it's keneged. It corresponds to the shivim nefesh shared to the Mitzrayim, the 70 souls who went down to Egypt with Yaakov, quoted in Parshas Vayigash and Parshas Shemos. Ukeneged Ayin Umos, and also the 70 nations, the 70 original nations of the world that you see come out of Noah. Ukeneged Ayin Shemos Sheyesh LaKadosh Baruch Hu, and corresponding to the 70 names of Hashem. The Elohein. I didn't want to quote any of them because then you wouldn't be able to, you know, we have 70 Shemos sons. But if you take a look at the Baal Truman side, it quotes 70 names of Hashem. Or almost, it quotes almost all of them. And then Shivim Shemos Yerushalayim. And 70 names of Yerushalayim. Baal Truman doesn't quote those. So apparently Yerushalayim has 70 names and Hashem has 70 names. You take a look at the Baal Truman, he lists close to 70 of them, and I guess the less you have to use your imagination what those names are. But it's very fascinating that he does this. And he, again, when it comes to numbers, the Baal Turim is on it, and he will point out connections between different numbers. This last page right here, we're not going to have time. I know people have to get out, but it's very, very interesting. I did it with Shal Baruch. Maybe Shal Baruch can give the shiur in this part last week of Baal Turim on Birchas Kohanim. If you have a chance, take a look. But Baruch Hashem, I'm happy we got the opportunity to meet the Baal Turim.